Hey, everybody. On this show, we discuss the selling out of the Crypto Burbs NFT project. Has some meme potential. Our Discord loves it. I bought a few. Nick bought one. Whole Discord's repping the Crypto Burbs. And we also talk about just the general vibe of the NFT market right now. Is this a dead cat bounce as we see volume picking up? Azuki has had a bounce back even after all of the controversy. And of course, we also had a sponsor, the Afterlife NFT project. So we learn about that. As usual, all the content that we work on is sponsored by FTX. Sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code THENIFTY on the FTX mobile app. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Friday. What a burb morning it is. As you can see, I've changed my profile picture. There's a lot of activity in our Discord surrounding a meme project that Gremlin has also changed his profile picture to, called Crypto Burbs. I know Nick is also a burb. My speculation is that these are going to flip Bored Ape Yacht Club. I don't make the rules. Happy Friday. We have a giveaway on today's show with our valued sponsor Afterlife. So we're going to be getting into that later in the show. Nick, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. You decided to get into this project like 3 days after it was going viral. Like what was the trigger that brought you in?
I already had one before you, buddy. I just bought more last night and got this sick, nasty green head in a, like, whatever you call this, a glass like mantle thing. It's just a giga brain, and I felt like it represented me pretty well. So the burbs are a movement. It's not a big deal. What I will say is that the fun that everybody's having minting burbs in the Discord reminds me of the good old days before NFTs were all about money. No one that minted Bored Ape Yacht Club was like, yeah, this is going to be worth $400,000 in less than 12 months.
That's why I minted it. I just knew. I knew immediately that I had made a purchase that was – I was going to get airdropped, you know, just six and seven figures worth of you know, capital. That's exactly why I bought it, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, we're just having some fun in the Discord. It's been a ton of fun. Obviously, Gremlin also has a burb as his profile picture, which is really cool and gives it some kind of validation. Apparently, the artist is legit. It's just been incredibly fun. They are not sold out yet, which is hilarious, but I guess we did some damage last night. Jesse, do you have a burb?
I don't have a burb. You know, I'm not there yet. I do sense some life in the market. We're looking forward to the weather report. I think the worst is behind us. But I actually thought the same thing when the regular.
Oh, it's over?
There's no way the worst is behind us.
It's not over, but it's not panic. We can talk about it later. I think panic mode is over. But I thought the same things when the regulars pumped. It was just so refreshing after talking about utility and everything became so rational. It was refreshing to finally, not even Bored Apes, just a couple months ago when every once in a while some stupid derivative would hit and we'd all laugh about it. It is nice to have a little bit of that energy around in the market. So, yeah, I agree with you.
It's definitely not a bad sign. Seriously, like in all seriousness, people having fun minting NFTs and having every single person in our Discord. Like I'm looking at the Discord right now. Every single person has a burb. The other thing is that some of them are just nasty. Like one of them, there's a hot dog. Like the burb is a hot dog. One of them, the burb is a toothbrush. It's a high effort project. So, hey, it's just a lot of fun. It looks like Gremlin has like 10 one of ones. So Gremlin's like been aping this project. Nick, what were you going to say?
I was going to say what's pinned at the top is you can have a version of yourself. We're going to discuss or chat with them in a bit. But you can literally have a version of yourself wandering the metaverse. This is kind of like a Westworld or something like that, but not. if you want an AI version of yourself navigating through the metaverse after you die, which I definitely do, and I'm looking forward to learning if I can have my AI terrorize people or like how does that go down. Cracking jokes or like what how custom can I get with these, but if you want one of them, three people are going to get themselves immortalized in the metaverse. So if you it's pinned to the top, all you got to do is retweet. So all you got to do, you got to click the button, retweet. I also recommend following their project, and then we'll be giving that away at the end of the show.
Fantastic. Very interesting concept. Really excited to dig into it. Happy Friday, everyone. Hey, everyone, if you're enjoying the show, tweet out the show. Why not? Let's see if we can get a little viral loop going and get a whole bunch of people in here on a Friday. Let's see what happens there. Signal, happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Time. What's going on?
Happy Friday. Happy Friday. I'm feeling really left out on the burbs. I've got to say it. When I go into the Discord and I see everyone's a burb, I'm like, I kind of want a burb. So I'm going to go grab one as well. They're really cute and fun.
Yeah, they're dope.
They are dope. They are really, really dope. And actually, when you go in there, it's just like, you know, Burb Army, Burbalicious, Burbatopia. But it's interesting times. Things are quietening down. We've got this overnight volume that's gone from the high 70s down into the 50s, sitting at 57 million in volume, apes at 98, mutants at 21. Over the past 24 hours, Azuki had the highest volume overnight. It's now trading higher than Doodles and Clone X. That floor is at 14 ETH compared to 10 yesterday. Beans were at 1 ETH, actually below 1 ETH yesterday, and now they are at 2.4 ETH. I mean, if you did that trade, good on you. That was bold, it was profitable, and dangerous, I'd say. In times of market stress, we're also seeing a sort of flight to quality in the art blocks curated sales. You've got Fidenzas, they've started to pick up slightly, and Ringers have had several sales over between 50 and 70 ETH. And what is dead may never die. Our good old friend Pixelmon sold huge volume overnight after unconfirmed rumors of a buyout from the founder of Anime Metaverse and an ex-Riot Games hire joining the project. That floor is at 0.4 ETH. The markets, we're seeing a relief bounce on crypto. BTC and ETH have bounced off their lows and are now ranging, whilst ApeCoin is now at $9. And on the OpenSea stats, well, we're almost halfway through the year. The volume is back to February, March lows of 50 million. The market is certainly not dead, and we will see isolated projects like Burbs break out with volume, but that doesn't mean that liquidity is here to stay. What's more important is we need to watch, are we going to break 50 million and trend down, or are we going to range between 50 and 65? That answer largely dependent on what's happening in the macro. So keep an eye out on the news and the crypto markets, because it does affect your bags. For now, the 24-hour forecast is low-hanging gray skies. Back to you, folks.
Thanks for the wonderful weather report, as always, Signal. Go ahead, Nick.
Seems like these burbs are about to be sold out.
No surprise. I mean, look, it's a flight to quality, no pun intended. Okay. You got to fly to the burbs. I mean, look, honestly, man, like at the end of the day, as long as it's fun, you know, that's like the most important thing with NFTs, is like that it's fun. The thing about these burbs that I loved is just the fact that they're like, I don't know, the one of ones are just dank. The toothbrush one.
Apparently,
all
Gremlin
that stuff.
Made those actual one of ones.
I know, I misspoke. I thought that he bought them. He made them. So Gremlin's in on the project. Are you kidding me? Look, they were mad at me for not doing a Burb song. Here's an honorary song. What happened to that boy? What happened to that boy? What happened to that boy? He was talking shit. I mean, what happened to that Burb? I don't know. This is crazy. at least we're having fun.
People in the Discord were asking me all the time, where's your burb? Where's your burb? And I looked at them and I was like, these are fucking stupid. So of course, yes. I bought five of them. that's how I looked at it. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to buy these because I think they're stupid and they're going to go to 5 ETH. So I might as well jump on the train and just ride it with you guys.
I like that as a target price. That'll recover any losses I had on stupid trades over the past couple of days. Hey, I can't expect right now. Literally, you can buy it off the floor for less than the mid price. But it is about to sell out. There's literally, I mean, they're actually flying right now. It looks like there's 30. Okay, we're down to 30.
It's over. It's a wrap. It's done. Easy. I was trying to let Easy on stage with his burb, but he got rugged. Easy. Try to like leave and come back. You know what Benjamin just said? Benjamin just basically showed everyone how experienced he is in the NFT space. He was like, I looked at them. I was like, these are so fucking stupid. So then I turned around and minted five. Like that is a seasoned
that was my thesis.
Right there.
That was my thesis for this. The stupider they are, the more I got to get them, right?
Here's Easy. Easy, I front run you with the... Easy. I front run you with the profile picture change.
Dude,
what
I
do
know.
You make? Your bird is nasty with that brain. That's crazy.
Dude, I got a triple B burb, a baby brain burb. So I'm out here. I'm living. I'm happy about it. Yeah, no, I mean, these are fun. It's like kind of the best part about a downward market.
Well, it's no longer downward. I don't know if you were here for that part. It's now just up only. So we've resumed up only. Inflation solved. All the economic uncertainty that existed for 5 days is now resolved. And we can just move on with up only season and look back toward us just making a turn on the infinite money making machine. Who knows where it's coming from? But it's it's just you know, free money out here. Very exciting times.
So hold on. Like, how legit is this like volume?
It's
like
not.
Are we really okay, easy. Give us your technical analysis, please.
No, let Jesse go real quick and then I'll add some thoughts.
Go ahead, Jesse.
I don't know what you mean by volume, but I think there was a really bad cycle there where, okay, obviously the terror thing was a catastrophe. I think that had to, and that obviously had some fallout, and that the people that got wrecked by terror then had to sell other stuff, right? They had to sell their NFTs, they had to sell their other crypto. Matt, everything was going down. People had to cover their losses. That's fine. But I know personally that when I was looking to buy or sell on the dip, gas was just astronomically high. And I was just like, I'm just did nothing. I didn't sell anything. There's a lot more. I barely sold anything. I sold some stuff, like some extra Huxleys I had that still retained value. But like the other stuff that I had just bought, like this Block Genesis project, which I like a lot, I just didn't sell it. And I didn't buy anything only because gas was so high. And because gas was so high, volume continued to stay down and was suppressed. But I don't think, I bet you by next Tuesday or Wednesday, if gas holds at least at a reasonable price, that volume is down, but down like we don't do year over year because we don't have enough years, but just down to like, you know, 25%, not like 80%.
Okay. And easy, what are you seeing out there?
It's a dead cat bounce, is my opinion. Like volume's
it's over.
Volume's
sell,
still terrible.
Sell your PFPs.
The reason gas is high, though, is because of liquidations. Like, we just had a short squeeze happen. ETH ran all the way back up to 2,100 off of 18. So anyone who went net short off of key pivot there doesn't look great. I mean, the other thing, too, to note is, like, the NFT space is still not getting a ton of buys on NFTs themselves. Like, that overall volume needs to outpace before I becoming like increasingly bullish. The tough part about it is like, I said it yesterday, like, I think we kind of trade in a range here from 18 to 2100, and that's exactly where we're sitting. I want to see us get over 21 with volume. I want to see Bitcoin hold over 30K. Nothing goes straight down, but we're also not outpacing where we started yesterday, and we could even get all the way down to where we the low of yesterday. So you tend to have these bounces, these like relief rallies. I know I've even said to Nick, like, I think we're going to see a relief rally here sooner than people think, because everybody was so doom and gloom the last 2 days. And that usually can indicate some form of short-term bottom. But then we also had the Luna situation get resolved, I guess you could say, because it got delisted from every single exchange.
That's pretty gnarly. And I didn't volume kind of pump after Luna got delisted?
As soon as the new daily candle happened, which is like 7 p.m. Eastern time, it just pumped. Like, everything pumped. And it seemed like that was right when all the order books closed out orders, dropped every kind of pair that they had, from like USD, Terra, to ETH and Luna, to anything with the Luna blockchain, basically. The other thing people have to remember, too, is like Duquan, the guy who needs to sell assets to reestablish the peg, holds Ethereum, Sol, and Bitcoin. Like, he's not just a Bitcoin maxi. He has about 6 million Sol. So, like, there's other stuff there that could cause some downward sell pressure if Terra and UST doesn't repeg sooner than later.
Okay. Well, it's going to be really interesting to see, like, if this is a dead cat bounce. I'm on the same page as Easy. I feel like there has to be like more pain ahead. I don't know. That's my school of thought. That's not based on technicals. That's based on sentiment.
But it's also the macro conditions haven't changed. Like, nothing here has like made more money appear or given people a better financial edge just yet, you know?
What macro conditions, though? Because I mean, the stock market, as much as people want to say, it's actually doing okay. This is not, everybody is acting like this is the Great Depression. Tech stocks are down because interest rates are high, and so you can't factor in the long-term value of the assets when Uber is, you know, not going to make a profit for another 10 years. So yeah, all the tech stocks are down. No, they're not. It's fine. Like, it's okay to have like bad down markets. But the thing that I still continue to say is that the people that were burnt by when crypto went down 90% just seem to think it's going to happen again. And I think that's already more like it never happens again, right? People that lived through the Great Depression, a lot of people never invested in the stock market because they were like, it's going to, it's like, no, it's that never that never happened again, because once cultural institutions adjust and there's some regulation and people socially adjust, like, yeah, we might go down 60%, but I just don't like, we went down a lot. Like, I'm not, there's a difference between being bullish and thinking like, yeah, ETH will be between 2100 and 2600 the next 2 weeks. I don't think that's like wildly bullish.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, look, it's hard to tell. We know that. And I tend to, like, you know, be on the same page as Jesse when I think about how much adoption we've seen, how mainstream crypto has become. I mean, we were posting those TikTok videos of like the early 2000s style pop songs on TikTok that were so funny, because clearly whoever is making them and writing them like really understands the ethos of the culture. Like, the crypto culture has permeated the mainstream without question. You have Jimmy Fallon buying Moonbirds. And speaking of burbs, we got franz.eth repping a crazy dollar bill burb on stage. You have your hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on? I'm good. How about you?
Oh, we're good, buddy. You're on the show. What's going on?
That's great. Yeah, I just wanted to thank you guys for mending out the burbs. That was awesome, you know.
no need to thank us. The burbs were on their own trajectory. What are your thoughts on the market?
Our Discord definitely owns about 80% of it. But yeah, I mean, definitely on a really positive trajectory.
Yeah. So I just wanted to jump in and tell a little bit about the burbs, because I don't think everyone really knows that much about the project. So,
yeah, I mean, look, right. we can circle back on the burbs. I want to cook a little bit more on the market side. Stick around on stage. If we have a couple minutes later, we can talk about them. I mean, look, awareness has been raised, right? We're all sporting burb PFPs. Everyone in the Discord is all over it. People are going to find out if they're interested. So
wait,
I appreciate.
Do you actually know anything about it, Pia, because other than the fact that our Discord minted it?
I know that the artist is legit, and Gremlin also made some of the burbs.
Yeah,
Gremlin. What does legit mean? That he knows how to make art?
Yeah, I don't. And this art is literally like a stencil. Like,
it's,
I don't,
crypto. It's a crypto punk head with a beak.
What? So does he have like a previous portfolio we can refer to that makes him legitimate or legit?
Yes.
Yeah, the visitor. Is it the visitor's guy?
Yeah, it is. And so, yeah, fine. So let's go.
Legit,
let's talk
legit,
about
we
burbs.
Mean like he has a legitimate Web3 background. You don't have to like the art. No, really. I mean, I think it's a relative thing. But just to circle back on the macro thing, Pio, about the data, because you pointed this out, and then I don't know if we've done the weather report. In terms of there being adoption, you had a great tweet, I thought, which was that Madonna changed her profile pic to an ape and nobody noticed. Like, that's – now we're past, like, the Jimmy Fallon thing where we're all talking about it. And now it's like – oh, it's not even that big of a deal. That's pretty significant that it's not that big of a deal, I think.
I think so, too. Having said that, they're historically, like, celebrities changing their profile pictures hasn't been that big of a deal. If Elon Musk did, if he dropped like a hexagon Bored Ape or a hexagon CryptoPunk, that'd be a big deal. Like, to show that he owns it, that'd be huge. But like, people don't remember that last year in like, you know, mid 2021, like probably before a lot of people that are in the NFT space now had even discovered it or had started participating, Jay-Z changed his profile picture to a CryptoPunk, which is absolutely nuts. And I'm pulling it up now. I don't think that it's still
a
crypto.
He's had that for a while.
Is it still a CryptoPunk? I don't even know, and I can't find his profile. It's hard to find. But he literally had a CryptoPunk like pretty early. So Jay-Z was pretty early to it. I know he has connections with Micah, you know, because of Roc Nation or whatever, so he might own Akkus. I don't know.
Yeah,
but it's not always...
has it. His ad is at SC.
Okay, at SC. So it's pretty cool that he's still sporting the CryptoPunk. That means that he definitely really gets it. Look, we can talk about the burbs later, but I want to, you know, hear from people about the market. Node, you know, you sold out of your Azukis. Now the Azukis are at 16 ETH. So you can't buy a basket this week. No, I'm just kidding. Obviously, you still did well. What do you make of what's going on in the market right now?
Yeah. Thanks again, you know, for tell me how I messed up that trade. No, I'm actually happy for him. You know, I'm happy for all the Azuki holders. Like I say, I want the project to succeed. Zagabond aside, and sounds like the things are, he's making amends, even albeit if he was forced to, that's great too. People keeping him honest. But the overall market, like, I don't know, I kind of got to agree more with Easy on the fact that, there's not any good bullish catalysts, in the macro environment out right now. And in fact, you could argue it's quite the opposite. So most people I know are very hesitant to make any big moves. And so anytime anyone asks me, I just say, you know, dollar cost average a little bit through the next 6 months and hopefully and make sure you survive first and foremost.
That's a good amount of time to be dollar cost averaging. The thing is that it's tough to dollar cost average into NFTs because a lot of good NFTs are really expensive. So it's hard to dollar cost average when you're deploying like 13 ETH or something like that. If it's an Azuki, it's like 16 ETH right now. You can buy ApeCoin, which had a run overnight. Good luck trying to predict the direction that thing's going in. That thing is like out of control.
It appears to just operate at like a beta of 2. Is kind of how I'm looking at ApeCoin right now. There were people that, I don't know if Pio, you were the one that was telling me that somebody said this to you, that they thought that that ApeCoin was almost a hedge against ETH. But right now,
I said it. Yeah, I said that. Like, yeah, but if you buy ETH and ApeCoin, it's a pretty decent pair. You know.
But in this case, it does appear that instead Ape is actually correlated with ETH and is operating at a bit of 2, aka like if ETH moves up 10%, then Ape moves up 20%, that sort of thing. And when ETH drops, Ape drops. So it's not clear at the moment that it's actually different from that standpoint, or that it's a hedge in any way whatsoever. Generally speaking, it's hard to hedge crypto with crypto. The only hedge against crypto is stable coins. That are not algorithmic, that are not going to go to zero in an instant. Or the US dollar would be a counter to crypto. So yeah, I don't know. It's difficult to see that buying one coin is going to offset another, generally speaking. That said, I mean, there are exceptions to that. But yeah, Ape seems to just have a strong correlation with ETH instead of being a counter.
I think during times of volatility, you can bet on that because of what you said, like crypto moves with crypto, right? You can't hedge crypto with another thing. But if ETH is moving sideways, or if there isn't like, you know, kind of a broader, you know, market dump, then at that point, I think that you can kind of, you know, play around with the correlation between Ape and ETH. But obviously, we don't know. The token's only been out for a couple
months.
You also
have to consider the float, too. Like, how many are active in circulation? Like, there's still a ton of Ape that's locked up. So, you know, buys and sells move it a lot more drastically. So, even if it is, you know, following ETH in some kind of lag, like, it's going to move up a much higher percent. So, you know, you see ETH go up 5%, you could see the ApeCoin go up 20 or 40. So just be careful with it because it is so volatile and there's still so much more to be unlocked with staking and early investors. So just understand that like the volatility is a lot higher now than it will be in the future as well.
It's a challenging game to play. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say Ape 2, I mean, it is all about the headlines when it comes to Ape, in my opinion, right? So whatever Yuga says, that's what happens to Ape. And so you notice they weren't saying anything after other deeds, and it was just bleeding out. And then as soon as that trailer came out again, the more recent demo and all of the info on the obelisk stuff, it then cranked up. So I think if you're gonna trade Ape, you're basically learning how to trade on rumors and news, I think, is probably the people that'll win there.
Yeah, it's a coin, but it's definitely like NFT adjacent, so it like has a different variable to it. But I still think that like 5 was just too low, just based on fundamentals. Like Nick has said, comparing it to something like Decentraland, like 5 was just too low. And Nick is always good. When Nick trades on FOMO, it's an absolute catastrophe every time. No, but when he sets a target, he is really good at setting a target. Like his target, he didn't do it, but his target for like Hearst was 20. His target on the high end for ApeCoin was 25. Then his buy target was 7. Like when he sets a target ahead of time, it often ends up very well. I don't know if he always acts on it. And he set a target at 7.
No, I counter trade my spot on fucking prediction every time, and then I just lose more money. Go ahead.
But no, I just think, again, I just want to make the point. There's a difference between being bullish and thinking like, okay, there was blood in the streets, and now it's just not going to be that bad, and things are starting to settle. And considering this is an alpha show, that there are, I think, potential opportunities, even if things just calm down for a week. People really sold off some decent projects. Like, I'm looking at like Letters right now, because like people are kind of into the art blocks thing, and Letters is kind of, again, it's like half NFT, half fine art. And it's going to like 1.8. Like, I could easily see a world where I would buy that at 1.5, hoping it pumps to 4. Now, there's no liquidity, that's a risk, but I think people should be looking right now at projects. You know, Deadfellas went to 0.9. Now it's already 1.2, and they have news today for Friday the 13th. Like, things sold off really badly. And again, there's a difference between being bullish and being like anti-bearish. And there are going to be some opportunities, I think, this weekend that people should look out at. And, you know, like I said, I'm refreshing Letters like every 2 hours to see if I can like get a buy. And I'm sure other people have their own that they can, you know, I would invite them to come up and drop. What are you looking at that's a good project that like sold off really hard?
And you're talking about Letters by talented artist Vinny Hager, who listens to the show sometimes. So shout out to Vinny Hager. Nick, I think we need some Nick predictions here, some price targets, if you're up for it. And I understand if you're not, but I'd love to know, do you have any price predictions for any of the blue chip projects? Do you have price predictions for Ethereum?
Zero. You know, man, this is such an odd time right now. And I like what Jesse was saying, especially when he was flattering me. That was my favorite part. And but in all honesty, it's a tough time to make any price predictions. I had said I'd made a price prediction with ETH. We basically raced right to it incredibly fast. And we usually don't see, although the market is fast, basically what we saw with the stock market as well is an immediate sort of adjustment to the future expectations. It happened very fast. And I think what we've seen over time is the market reactions move faster and faster to the information that's available. And so we saw a major correction. That said, everyone that I speak to expects another 30% downside. But I remember years ago, when Sequoia had a deck, which was RIP Good Times, and that was during the financial collapse. And what happened was, it was actually fairly short-lived when the quote-unquote bad times were going on. Even like most of the recessions that we've experienced have been for very limited periods of time. And so the one thing that I've seen is that the NFT market has been surprisingly resilient during this time. Now, we always joke about how this is an illiquid asset because they are illiquid assets. And the result of that is that the price action is wildly volatile. That's what makes it so exciting as well. So I like the idea of picking up at low prices, and you have to execute in the face of absolute fear and panic. And we were kind of at a max level of that yesterday and the day before. And that was a perfect time to probably pick up some stuff as we saw, Azuki bounce up here. I'm not looking at Azuki, though. You know, I'm looking at what are actually good things. And, like, they haven't made any adjustment. But this is a market that does reward speculation. And a lot of the prices that I've come up with targets are there's technical on the ETH side, and I'm happy to give some numbers, but there's on the ETH side, it's purely technical. On the APE side, it's relative value. And basically everything in the NFT space is relative value, right? Like, we're basically basing everything on the price of APE, or the price of Doodles, or the price of, you know, name some blue chip crypto punks. That's what makes everything sort of, you can question yourself heavily on this price action. And it's way easier to make predictions in a bull market than it is in a bear market, because you don't know. Trying to time the bottom is a fool's errand, and trying to time the top is as well. But all you can do is trade the direction of the market. And right now we're in either continued pullback slash choppiness for a period of time here. So anything that I'm looking at, I'm not diving back in at this point in a major way. And I'm basically, I'd say I'm on the sidelines, but that's not completely accurate because I have a significant NFT portfolio thanks to all the Bored Ape stuff.
You've been minting all the burbs.
and my burb portfolio is quite sizable now. I have two of them and expecting that to serve as a retirement account. But yeah, it's just chop at this point. And so honestly, making any sort of price targets is very difficult in this current scenario. I like Jesse's approach here, which is basically set your lower end targets that you're aiming for items that you want to buy, that you genuinely want to buy. If you have money that's sitting on the side and you want to buy some NFTs that were previously out of range. And I've been seeing us hitting a lot of those different targets. My Coda target of 15 ETH was hit. And then I bought it at a made an awful trade because I FOMO'd in, which, as Jesse said, is basically me guaranteed losing money. But a lot of those targets still stand. Any downward targets, CryptoPunks, you know, 50K, 75K, apes, we could see something in the in a similar range. What is definitive at this point, and we've seen play out, is that all of these NFTs have an anticipated dividend price, which is what a lot of these are trading at. So the premium of Ape over Punks, to me, is the expected deliverables, or like the expected, I don't want to call it dividends, but that's basically what it is that people expect out of Apes moving forward. So that premium is what I'm looking at on any gap. And we saw it just happen with Doodles. Doodles is down towards 12, their Doodlecopter, or whatever the heck it's called, Duplicopter, is trading at around 2.5 to 3 ETH last time I checked, or 2.5 to 3.5, it's in that range. That's basically forced the Doodle floor down by that amount. So that's kind of how I'm thinking about a lot of these different things at this point. And in terms of burbs, which are very, very, very bullish here, honestly, I think it's a fucking. Man, you need someone to hop in here who actually has sway in the market outside of minting hot garbage, which our community is absolutely very talented at. So yeah, I can't give you any price actually right now. Primarily, just outside of the ones that I already stated, which I still feel is accurate. ETH is what ETH and Bitcoin is what I'm watching here.
Yeah, what targets do you have for those?
There's downward targets, but again, those are only based on levels. We kind of hit a bottom that we were looking at, but I think Bitcoin, my next level down is 20K. My target on ETH, we basically hit, and so now if we really push lower on this, man. It goes low. I don't want to set it just yet until we surpass this level. But if we go below the sort of 1800 level, it's like, you know, as low as 1200 or something like that, or 1300, and then below that is pretty bloody. You're looking at 600, 700, 800. But like, things really need to be bad at that point. And here's the general thought. Crypto has a lot more people that are involved in it at this point, and especially on the NFT side, it's just fun. Like, when I compare this to trading cryptocurrency back in like 2017 time frame when we had the ICO boom, that was like not it was fun, but it was just tokens, and we were just talking about purely there was nothing other than speculation. Like, there was nothing that you got. And I will say, there to me, there is really a major difference with when I like print something and hanging it on the wall, and I'm like, you know what, I can like be at peace with that thing, and I don't need I don't need it to like go up 500% right now. And as long as you're in a place with that, it's just really entertaining. There's people that are building actually cool shit. Like our sponsor of today, for example, that are doing cool things that I think are really exciting. And a lot of the ICO stuff had nothing to do with that. And a lot of the conversation around blockchain price and everything else is based on like super technical, frankly, bullshit as far as I'm concerned.
I said this yesterday, straight up.
Like, because no one gives a shit about like your, how your bridge is different than other bridges. Like the average Joe does not, or Mary or Jane, whatever you want to call it, does not care about any of those specific things, but they certainly can understand a picture. They can understand, and I'm including myself in this. Like, let's be clear, when I say average Joe or Jane, I'm viewing myself, as one of those people who just like, I don't care about your like other layer two versus side chain versus like name some other thing.
And dude, you're competing against behemoths called Bitcoin and Ethereum when you're entering that arena.
Yeah, and I'm falling asleep every time someone discusses the technicals of that, primarily because half those things will not exist like in some period of time because they all get absorbed into the Borg, whichever that Borg becomes. Could be Ethereum, could be something else, but they end up adopting all of those different technologies. So it doesn't matter. Like, it's completely irrelevant, and the average user does not give two shits about Avalanche versus Matic versus like name some other random jargon thing
that doesn't work.
And your algorithmic stable coin, which is going to lose people another few billion dollars. No one gives the average person does not give a shit about that other than speculative nature of it and doesn't understand anything about the fundamentals about it because they can't read code. And even if you can read code, you still don't understand it.
there's no question as crypto as an extension, we've been talking about it for a while, of the creator economy. And right, the whole thing in Web 2 was you can build a community around your blog, your newsletter, or whatever. You know, with NFTs, the whole thing we've been talking about is you can actually buy in early and buy in on somebody. And there's no question there's more than a financial element there. I mock the community thing all the time for NFTs, but there's no question there's more of an emotional connection, even with someone like buying it, the Kevin Rose, right? It's like you're buying Kevin Rose stock, or you're buying Billy Eilish, not Billy, I don't know who. You're buying stock in somebody you believe in, an artist or a creator, and there's something different about that to a regular financial product. And so if you want to just get rid of the fundamentals and just go off vibes, we all predicted this, the Kendrick Lamar bounce. I'm just saying, it put vibes in the air. So I'm tracking my index. My chart is
Jesse,
Kendrick versus the market. That's what I'll be publishing my chart for Easy Eats later.
Jesse's not wrong about that. One last thing to add to that is just the kind of the fusion of art and culture and finance and technology and, you know, entertainment and sports. Everything kind of gets fused together. And you never saw Jay-Z change his profile picture to the Chainlink logo, right? That's just not going to happen. But he changed it to a CryptoPunk because he understands art. He's a collector of art. And there's historical significance to this blockchain-based art. So a couple people DM me about the Burbs, and I think they thought that I was being disrespectful to the artist, even though I was saying that the artist is legit. So quickly, I want to throw to Franz, and quickly...
I like how you took that message personally, because so here's how you get PO to discuss your project. Just say he's been disrespectful.
Well, now if other people try to do that and they say like you disrespected the artist behind the Spicy Penguin Collective or something, I'm not going to give a shit. But apparently, you know, this artist is legit. And so, and two people that, you know, Jessica Utrofsky pointed it out, and she's a talented artist herself. So I want to make sure that we quickly run through this. Franz, can you give us a very, 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 very quick summary on the Burbs?
Yeah, sure. So it actually started all the way back in August. And the way it started was on the Polygon chain. So one guy made a collection of 10,000 different kind of eggs. And then it was a free mint. And then the visitors' Discord servers noticed this free mint on the Polygon chain. And so they started minting all these eggs. And then the artist behind the visitors, his name is Mike Mitchell. He and another guy named Jacob made a collection of 10,000 burbs, which also was a free mint. And the way you would mint the burbs was that you needed to have a visitor in your wallet, and you need to have an egg. So, yeah, that's basically the story behind it. So that was all the way back in August.
It seems like it's been like a year in the making almost, because of how many unique traits there are,
exactly.
And like how kind of original the artwork is. Obviously, it starts with the CryptoPunk, but all the different traits are on point for pixel art. I think it's really dope. I mean, look, they're flying right now, probably because we're talking about them, and everyone in our Discord people are popping into our Discord and going, "What's up with all these burbs?" Like people that took the week off because of the bear market. Yeah,
and I think the reason why they're popping off right now is because they're just fun. And that is what people sort of miss. Or if you've been in the space for, let's say, a year or so, back then it was all just fun, it seemed like. But now it's, as you also spoke about earlier, now it's become more in investments and speculation and stuff like that. But as soon as you see all these kind of burps and all the different traits and they're just plain fun, that brings back some of that, you know, that fun stuff we had in earlier days or a year ago, something like that.
Yeah, I'm not comparing Burbs to Bored Ape Yacht Club, but Bored Ape Yacht Club came out like right as the crypto crashed and Nifty Gateway bubble had just burst. I know Schwaz, who's on stage, remembers that. Schwaz, like when you, did you mint your ape? Did you buy it on the secondary?
Yo. I bought it on May 1st. So that was...
One day after the sellout?
One day after, which is crazy because I remember thinking, like, I looked back, I thought it was much later, but it was like the day after sellout. I remember like a massive gap after sellout and me deciding to spend 0.25, which was like a crazy amount of ETH for me at that time to spend on a JPEG. But yeah, it was May 1st.
Yeah, and people that were minting apes, like, they were having fun with it. It was just fun, right? It wasn't like this thing's going to be worth $400,000 in a year. It was for fun, and then the community factor came into it. Everybody was in the Discord, right? Like, I don't know. Do you remember it differently?
I was not buying it, like, as a speculative, this could be, you know, 2 ETH or 3. Like, I wasn't really thinking that. I remember just a lot of people had it in the Discord. And I thought it was interesting. Like, I thought it was, there was like this community element. I didn't know what it meant, but I kind of wanted to be a part of it. And like, yeah. And like the bathroom thing, which is so, which is so nothing, but it like, it kind of showed people like the potential, like the idea of NFTs could give you exclusive access to something, you know. In that case, it was just like a bathroom wall that you could write stuff on, but it like planted the seed. So I think that's kind of what got me excited. It wasn't like, oh, this is going to be like a crazy, like there was no precedent really besides CryptoPunks for something being.
Schwaz, you know, what about when we were in Clubhouse making all the ape noises and everything? You think there's going to be something like that for burbs? Like people are going to be squawking everywhere?
Tweet, 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 tweet.
Yeah, whether or not.
I mean, there's been a lot of sounds for various projects, right? Like Goop, a lot of sounds in this space.
Schwaz, so I want to throw to Gray in a minute because they've had their hand raised for a million years. But quickly, Schwaz, you're a full-time NFT trader and you have been for like a year or something like that now. What do you make of, you know, the past 7 days, you know, the quote unquote bear market, the maybe dead cat bounce that we're experiencing right now? How does something like that impact you?
It impacts my net worth. I mean, we've had a couple cycles like this, so I've been every single one I've been better positioned than the last one, so you know, there's always like the thought that, oh, this is it, this could be it, but you know, it's there's cycles, so you know, I've gotten better at you know, putting profits aside to be able to like take advantage of times like this. So, You know, I bought a doodle yesterday. I've been, you know, buying some stuff that I have conviction in, you know, taking some losses for the stuff that I don't see bouncing back, but I don't know. I'm not overall too worried.
Okay. And you sold your Bored Ape Yacht Club free claim land at the top, right?
Yeah. I played the ape stuff pretty well. I got pretty lucky. I sold the alpha land right away. Turned that into like two doodles and a bunch of MFers. So yeah. And that did not have a coda, by the way.
Right. Yeah. You lucked out that it didn't have a coda, right? Cause that might have haunted you. Real quick, everybody, make sure that you retweet the tweet that's pinned to the top. That gives you a chance to win an NFT from our sponsor Afterlife for this show. And we're going to dig into that shortly. Gray Jabezi, looks like you're a builder. You're a crypto and NFT degen. You're a step and runner. So you're making money for walking around using your body. Very nice. You've had your hand raised for a while. What's going on?
Yeah, man, what's going on? Interesting spaces. Good morning to everybody. It's now my third day at McDonald's. I lost everything due to the crash.
Now, third day at McDonald's.
Yeah, man, flipping burgers. I had to get back to work, leave all this NFT shit aside. But now it's all good. We'll make some money and we'll pick up the floor. I need to get a few more apps, you know. But jokes aside, so... one of my tweets made it in 9gag and a few news sources. I made a joking tweet talking about, oh, I lost everything. Now I'm working at McDonald's. And it just reminded me, it showed me how people wish this market would literally go to zero and would all lose everything. It's like the comments are really funny, but also with bad intent, you know? So it's just made me believe more in this community, the NFT and the crypto community as well. I think we need to stay stronger. Times might get harder as things go, but I think we have to keep on building and add more value as possible. I've been in so many cycles in crypto. I've been in crypto for like 8 years, but what I have seen with the NFT community is something special in a way that the mints usually are well distributed more than crypto. So even in the crash, I think NFTs are pretty much handling it better than the coins, since the coins are highly distributed to VCs and big bag holders through pre-mint. So I'm just excited, man, that this is happening and it's giving us more opportunity to build without the noise and to pick up the floor as well. You know, it's incredible time.
Well said, man. Well said. We got Bell on stage from the Nifty community. I don't see a burb as your PFP. I don't know what's going on there, Bell, but what's going on? How you doing?
Man, hey, everybody. So I do have a burb, of course. I mean, at this point, are you really in the Nifty if you don't have a burb at this point? So I do have one, but I'm celebrating Friday the 13th with my dead fellas. I had to wrap that
Hell
one.
Yeah.
Of course. But so two things. My Ninja Alerts keeps going off like crazy because Sneaky Ninja Pants is selling the burbs right now. So I think that's hilarious.
It's a bullish
somebody
signal.
Mentioned. Yeah, it is. Somebody mentioned about like, are we going to start burbing and talking about, you know, actual burbs, the word. So if you go into our Discord, for anybody that's not in there, everybody has changed their name to like a variation of burbs, which I also think is hilarious. But as far as the market sentiment goes, I've been putting out some offers and I have been this entire week, you know, the standard 15-20% just lower than the floor price. Nobody is biting. And I think it's because of the gas fees right now. So I'm hoping that they go down. They tend to go down on the weekend. So I'm kind of hoping that that goes through. Other than that, I swapped everything over to USDC last week. So I'm sitting comfy on that, except for what I'm using to actively trade with. And then I'm looking at art. I've been browsing through Rarible, taking advantage of the low price on ETH.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of people, you know, Nick brought up that he bought a Damien Hirst yesterday or 2 days ago, whenever that was. You know, in times like these, people do start turning to art as like a long-term store of value. And it's fun. And like, you know, we saw it in our Discord too. Like, Bell, you're a member of the Nifty Portal Discord. At the end of the day, like, there was a sizable percentage of the Discord that did become inactive, like on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And that indicates to me that a lot of people are in the NFT space, you know, to make money less than they are for community, you know, shocker. what a surprise there, right? But it is something to keep in mind. And then you see the people that stick around, and those are the people that are really about, you know, the culture, so to speak. And, you know, you can kind of see who's going to be here for the long haul versus who's kind of opportunistic about this. So, you know, I want to throw to my guy, Maku Ranger, repping the Afterlife Twitter PFP right now and account. And that's our sponsor for today. But Maku Ranger, you know, you come from trading in traditional markets. You've been in crypto for a while. You and I, when we were speaking in preparation of this sponsored spot, we discussed what you were seeing in the market. And I thought you had some really great insight and, you know, a lot of cool things that you had going on. I believe we talked about like Artifact, and we talked about how you were deploying your dry powder. What do you make of what's going on in the market right now?
Yeah, man. Thanks for having us today talk about the project. And yeah, regarding the market, I got to say, you guys bring me good vibes. When I started trading back in the days, in a previous life, I used to be a institutional sales trader for Credit Suisse before I went on to new things. And I saw the internet bubble burst like right in front of my trading desk. So I got a lot of kind of callback from this. And what I'm seeing right now in the market is pretty much just valuation going down. You know, it's been crazy. People are excited. It's a new technology. A lot of new things going on. And so people just buy excitement. Now we're going to have a slowdown, which is meant to be, right? If this technology is meant to stay for a while, I do believe that this valuation needed to come back and cut back down. I do believe that there's still way more room to go down from there, but it's healthy. If we're here for the long term and we believe this technology is meant to change the world, as I do believe, well, I mean, it's good. Let's change our focus from the short term to more medium to long term, and I think we'll all be fine.
And how have you been playing, you know, the past week in the market? I think that you'd mentioned you bought like Artifact, one of their projects, or like how are you kind of playing this?
Yeah, so my first strategy when the market go down is usually to try to ARB, try to make trades that are what I consider to be low risk. Let's be honest here, it's all speculation, and this field is very high risk, but I really like to look at looks rare versus OpenSea, look at the floors there, really good opportunities this week. My favorite strategy that paid off about 1 to 2 ETH a day lately was to buy on looks rare, the tier 5 on other deeds, and just go and flip it on OpenSea. It's been very, very fruitful trade for me. And that way, I mean, you're buying already, like someone else was talking about 15, 20%. Well, I was probably buying about 20, 25% lower than I would on the floor on OpenSea, looking at these tier 5, which is high currency, and just flipping it on OpenSea. The other strategy I like right now is also on these monoliths. I like the decreasing supply of a technology that's going to keep growing, evolving, keep dropping new stuff like Monolith 2, maybe Monolith 3, 4. We've seen Pranksy come in and buy some this week as well. So that's been my two favorite strategy over the last couple of weeks. But let's also be honest here. I don't have much time to trade with the new project going on. So doing what I can, but yeah.
Of course. And we were talking a little bit about other side, and obviously that's one of the projects you just brought up that you're trading. What do you think of other side? Like, you know, on this show a lot, Jesse, who isn't on stage now, but is a regular on the show, he talks about how the metaverse is never going to be a thing. A lot of people are saying that, you know, Yuga Labs and the associated businesses have never built a game before. They've never made a game. Why would this game make sense? The supply is too high. There's going to be another 100,000 that hit the market in August. You know, all of these kind of questions surrounding other side. You know, what do you make of it? Can you see it working out? Like, if you kind of think into the future, what do you think?
Actually, my view on the metaverse is it's a bit different. I mean, I think that there's a lot of value in not disclosing a lot of things, and I think that most of the successful project right now view that in the fact that by not disclosing much, you let people imagine and make great story about what could it be, and this way it drives valuation up. And so we really don't know much. Like they drop this, a week later they drop more information regarding the potential. I think the potential could be huge just because of the huge community and what they've been delivering in the last year or so. But in terms of what their specific metaverse can be, except from what we saw with 10,000 or maybe 100,000 concurrent player at the same time, which seems like a cool technology, I wouldn't be able to make an informed decision on that. Regarding the whole concept of the metaverse, in my own view, I do believe that the front runners in this new kind of ecosystem that's going to pop is going to be platforms like OnCyber, Spatial, Mona, doing really cool thing in 3D VR enabled over older and maybe more mature platform than like Sandbox and Decentraland, which were like the OG. They've been here for a while. They've been working hard. They've been producing stuff. But I think that now they might get overrun a bit by these new platform emerging that offer so many cool opportunities.
Yeah, it's something to think about. And I think that when you look at the price action on Sandbox after Otherside came out, I think a lot of people are thinking that Otherside, you know, as a competitor is stronger than Sandbox. Nick, you were going to add to that?
Well, I'm curious from your perspective for your project, and if you're like in, if you're operating in the metaverse, or you think that some of these rooms style approaches make sense, how are you all thinking about this? Like, where, what space will my immortal identity exist in?
Yeah, that's a great question. I really, really see it as a digital space, right? A link that you can access through your browser, your phone, anything. It's going to, obviously, I sit in the corner of the metaverse, but it's not going to be a metaverse by itself. We're already working and talking to founders from the platform I talked about just a bit earlier. And that's where I see it evolve. I see the metaverse as bubbles. You know, all these ecosystem will pop and all these bubbles will be connected. We already see portals, some talk about interoperability between these, like all these great platforms working together. So our space is going to be a bubble connected to all the other bubbles where we're going to focus on bringing our technology and our utilities.
Very cool. And go ahead, Nick.
No, I was going to say, I love that. I mean, the picture that I have, and maybe you can explain actually what you all are building, because the way that I pictured it when I heard it was I was thinking like Westworld version of myself essentially walking around in a I understand Westworld had a physical existence in the real world. And who knows, maybe that's where we're headed here. But
Nick, that's a terrible analogy. It's Upload. Has anyone seen Upload? Much better analogy. Let's forget about Westworld.
No one has seen that show. So no.
I've seen that node. I've seen it node, but I think it's going to be more like with Dwight in The Office when he's doing Second Life. If you guys ever see that, where he makes an identical character of himself doing everything that he'd do in real life, he can just fly.
I don't remember that. That's hilarious, though. I haven't seen Upload. That sounds like a node special. I bet if you watch that show, it kicks ass.
Anyways, it's Westworld, and so I'm curious how are. Well, actually, more importantly, why don't we let them say, you know, which metaverse future you're aiming for my AI counterpart to exist in.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the analogy to Westworld, Upload, Black Mirror, all these we've been receiving it from the community in the last month and a half that we've been live in. And yeah, for sure. I mean, when we're talking about far technology, something that's not quite understood, obviously you go to the popular media and you find example. But the way we see it is we want to allow people to kind of leave a trace of themselves for the next generation. As a person, I was marked by a friend that passed away really too young with two young kids, and I always kept that baggage with me. And so since then, having myself two young kids, I've always been thinking about, you know, what I'm going to leave for them. And instead of leaving letters and videotapes like my friend did for his kids, which are, well, temporary, right? This can break. This can, you never know what's going to happen with it. We want to leave a way for people to leave a legacy for their loved ones. And throughout the generations to come, how cool would it be if your grandkids can go to our digital space and visit their old ancestry there? So you're going to have your great-great-great-granddad, and you're going to be able to see the trace of them that decided to leave in a digital space in the metaverse that's customized by them. They're going to be maybe NFTs on the wall, maybe the old couch that he took a picture, put it in 3D, ask an artist to put it in there. He's going to have his voice, the maybe it's going to be the AI embryo from the undifferentiated state that you're going to mint, or maybe it's going to be an avatar that you decided to put in there, but the space is just going to feel like them, you know, as close as we as technology can allow it to.
Well, it's definitely incredibly cool. One thing I also want to talk about is the business side of the project, because I think it'll be good for people to understand, you know, that people are really running businesses with NFT projects, especially ones that are dropping, you know, now when the market isn't necessarily as hot as it was. Just a reminder to everybody, retweet the tweet at the top. You'll have a chance to win one of three NFTs that Afterlife is giving away. And when is the mint?
Well, pre-sale is today. It was supposed to be yesterday, but with 300 Gwei, we decided to push it back. And looking at the gas right now, it seemed like it was a good decision. Right now, it looks under like 670 Gwei right now. So gas looks good. So it's going to be today. In 2 hours, we're doing a pre-sale. Pre-sale is going to last 24 hours. And then after that, public sale. And we'd leave a 72 hours window to public sale. And then after that, we cap supply. So whatever happens, we understand current market conditions, but we're well-funded. Our founders are looking to expand the ecosystem, whatever happens. And so whatever happened, we cap supply and we want to start from there. So we're going to start with that community that minted with us, and then we're just going to grow.
Awesome. And yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about, is like so many NFT projects, it's all about the sellout. It's all about the sellout. And obviously you want to sell out. I mean, if you look at this Burbs project, it's been sitting there since March. So, you know, it took some time to sell out. I think this is more of a meme art play, and it's not an actual, you know, functioning business. But when you and I were speaking, you let me know, like, obviously we want to sell out, but even if we don't sell out, you know, it's not like we're not going to have a business. We have funding to operate. So do you want to talk a little bit about that to, you know, kind of communicate to people the reality of the business and help them understand that there are, you know, entities in the NFT space that are building businesses, whether or not they get hype in the space, right? Whether or not they have the crazy hyped up sellout and do a 4X in 24 hours, you guys are, you know, planning to be here for a long time and build something real.
I mean, for sure. We're talking about the 100-year roadmap in our, I mean, on our light paper, which takes literally 5 minutes to read, we try to highlight how our vision exists and how it's going to be able to be agile with the community to evolve, because we don't know how technology of this blockchain and AI technology is going to evolve, and it keeps growing so fast as an exponential technology. But yeah, it's just going to go so fast that right now our roadmap is kind of really tight and planned for next year, year and a half. But then afterward, we expand because we know damn well that this technology will offer so many opportunities.
Epic.
Oh yeah, sorry, I missed your question about the team and the founders. So yeah, I mean, we've been working on this since the end of last year. So I've been trading NFT. I say trading because I started as a flipper, became an investor, then a creator. And then by chance, one of my good partners and friend in real life is a fractional CFO. So he's dealing with these crazy genius doing M&A deal. He's doing about 10 to 20 mergers per year. And so at some point we met this guy. He's the only undoxed member of our founder teams. So we're currently 9 founders, all disclosed docs on our website with LinkedIn profile experience and everything. But the reason why he's doxed is like last year he sold his conversational AI business for close to $100 million. And we sat with this guy and started thinking about what are the possibilities merging AI and blockchain together. And for him, it's really a cool project. It's curiosity. It's also a utility that he wants to bring to his own life. Just like me, I want to bring this utility for my family. So we're not going nowhere. We want this for ourselves. We're building this project as selfish as it can be. Sorry for my French there. We're from Montreal, Quebec, by the way. Cheers to people that could be here. But as selfish as it can be, we're building something that we hoped we would have been able to invest in. And we've been the community just rally around it.
So if you haven't retweeted the tweet that's pinned to the top, you can grab one of these NFTs. And then, you know, at least for 100 years, while they have this roadmap, you'll be able to have a counterpart version of yourself in various metaverses, whichever form of the metaverse exists at that point. I'm assuming it's going to evolve over time. Unrelated to this, I just saw this, and I don't know if anybody can verify whether or not this is true. Tenacious sent it to me, and then I'm looking into it, and it's not clear to me, but that Crypto.com is reversing profitable Luna trades from May 12th, claiming that users were quoted an incorrect price. Is that correct? Does anyone have verification of this? Because that just seems like absolutely ludicrous. But could you imagine if I went and like bought a Bored Ape, and then like months later they're just like, yeah, so about that, about that, yeah, so you were misquoted, and it wasn't $400, it was $400,000, so you owe us, you know, $390,000, $399,600, I guess would actually be the correct amount, but anyways. Yeah, that appears to be what is going down at the moment. I don't know.
I love the journalistic integrity. We heard a tweet. Let's put on the show. This is perfect.
Well, it's by another pseudo reputable news source, and so when we get one pseudo reputable news source, and we're able to repost that on us being a pseudo reputable news source, then it feels like we're pretty accurate here. Should that information turn out to be true or false, I will be firing somebody from our newsroom. So don't worry about that.
I mean, look, there's not that many news people left at this point because of how many people we've had to fire over the past couple of months. It sounds like this one's got some legs. We should just run with it. No, I mean, what we'll see. That is gnarly, though. That just shows how gnarly the crypto markets are right now, that they're going to actually reverse trades. Captain Kix has joined us. Our third co-founder hasn't been here all week because he's been busy having fun in the sun on the Crypto Raiders retreat and posting pictures from the beach and all these other things that he's doing. Must be nice over there in Crypto Raider Town. Captain Kix, what's going on?
Hello, sir. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm good. What do you make of what's going on in the markets? Or have you just only been drinking beer this week?
No, that's why I've been drinking beer. It's because what's been going on in the markets. Yeah, I mean, pretty wild stuff out there. Didn't expect all of that crazy volatility. Also kind of shows the resilience of the market a little bit, I guess, that we can have such a crazy event like we did with Luna, and there like isn't more panic or more things destabilizing. So I think that's kind of a good sign. I feel like the market's, you know, still probably going to be choppy, but, you know, it really felt like max panic and fear. What was it, two nights ago? When ETH like dumped all the way down to 1750, when Tether was almost depegging, I like told other people here, I was like, this kind of feels like max fear. This is probably like a good buy spot. And sure enough, we're up like, you know, 15-20% from there. But then that's the trick of this game, is that just a, you know, dead cat bounce. And you're going to get trapped if you go back in. But yeah, I'm not really panicking, you know, like I still have all my NFT exposure I have before I left. Not like I could sell it if I wanted to, but I wasn't really like freaking out or anything like that. Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're going to have a V-shaped recovery, but I do think that if like crypto can stabilize, since NFTs are such an exciting new space, that like we can get more runs out of NFTs, even if, you know, crypto's kind of ranging in a bear. Also, Pio, when I was trying to find the Twitter spaces, I couldn't at first because you have a Burbs PFP. Have you ever changed your PFP?
I don't ever change my PFP. And honestly, I was kind of worried about it because of that very reason. I figured people weren't going to be able to find the show. So I've tried to like excessively tweet the show out today to make sure that, you know, people could find it. We'll see on Monday and Tuesday. Friday's not an accurate day. People actually have lives on Fridays, especially during a bear market. But that's funny that you said that, Kix. Kix, if you're going to buy one, like, you know, top 15 NFT project right now, like I got a gun to your head, what would you buy?
Do they accept really beer like as a form of currency? I'm just trying to figure that out. It sounds like we got a couple extra beers there.
Well, we drank it all last night, so that wouldn't we wouldn't have much currency to work with. If I was to pick one project, it has to be in the top 15 of like volume, or
top 25. You know, just like one of the projects that everybody knows. Like, what would you buy?
Yeah, I'm just scrolling through right now to see if I can. I don't know. I got a
gun to your head.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe OK Bears. I don't know.
Wow.
You got a gun in my head. I'm just pulling the trigger. It doesn't really matter. I'm buying a random NFT so that you move the fucking gun away from my head, P.O. Like, get that out of my face.
good point. I'm surprised to hear OK Bears. So my man Kix throws out a Solana NFT. That's kind of gnarly. If Easy was here, he would be very pleased. All the Solana boys in the Discord would be very pleased. What's informing that, Kix?
Just because with all, like a lot of the other projects, I feel like they've like already used so much ammo in like dropping new stuff that like, what are they going to really drop next that's going to drive the price up meaningfully? So they're only going to move up in price if like the whole market goes like in a big like bull run. Like, you know what I mean? Like, meaning like in the ape ecosystem, there's no airdrop coming anytime soon. In the Clone X ecosystem, there's probably no airdrop. Same with the Zuki. Same with Doodles. Maybe, you know, Moonbirds, I guess, has the potential to do an interesting airdrop, you know, like sometime soon. Now, the downside with like OK Bears is that their team doesn't seem like they're, you'd almost want Zagabond to go work at OK Bears, I think.
Why?
I don't know. I just think they had this big announcement like a couple of weeks ago, and like, it like came out, they're like giving everybody like you know, a free wristband and a sticker or something. So I hope that their upcoming roadmap is a little bit more exciting.
You know, one that I would look at, P.O., going along with what Captain Kick said, is Adidas is one that doesn't have, you know, there might be something coming up there and it's a lower price. So if you had a gun to my head, I might go there. Although I will say we also forgot to talk about something important yesterday. I'm still trying to emotionally recover from looking at the Madonna NFT. I don't really know what to do anymore. Like my, I haven't been thinking straight for a day. And I'm just trying to move on. So if anyone has any tips and pointers on some kind of therapy recovery, that would be very helpful.
I feel like people are having a funny reaction. Me and Nick were talking about this. Like, Nick, you know, we talked about this last night. This was just on brand for Madonna, is it not?
Yeah, I think it's completely on brand for her. And she did, like, I saw it covered basically everywhere. And the media version of it is like, this is so offensive. And it's like, even at, what, how old is Madonna now?
I think 60 or 70.
67 or something like that. And even at 67, she's still...
63.
63, okay. She's still got... knows how to
ruffle feathers,
rub people the wrong way and get attention, and so she's out here still doing the exact same thing. So I honestly am bullish on that project. That said, the auction was not very high last night or yesterday. I don't know what it is today. It ends today for I think most of those items.
Are you gonna be bidding, Nick?
What's that?
Are you gonna be bidding?
If it got Madonna to come to our NFT NYC event, we'd definitely put up money for that.
company funds, Madonna, get over there.
But I don't think that she's going to even respond to a message for me buying her auction. So no, and I really don't know what I'm going to do like with that NFT. Am I going to have a TV with a frame of just like her vagina basically shooting out a tree? I don't know. I mean, it's a cool... project, I think, in terms of the fact that it's hilariously pissing people off, and so that she's done a great job with that. But yeah, it's definitely a weird NFT, but it's also so Beeple. I don't know. I think something about it is just like, I actually like it.
It just works, man. It just works.
On brand. It's totally on brand. You're right.
Yeah, basically, if you have the reaction of like, oh, this is so bad, how is this art? You're just basically telling everyone that you don't like get it. You just don't get it. You're going on.
No, you're generating the reaction which she was aiming for, which got her a bunch of responses. that, like, not only did she release this NFT, but it's like a nude model of maybe her, you know, like whatever. I mean, Beeple's interpretation of Madonna. Like I doubt Madonna was like, here is a photo of my nude body, Beeple. Now you go and create this. Regardless, I thought it was hilarious, and it's absolutely ludicrous, and people fell for it just like they aimed.
Well, so we should get back to the sponsored spot with Afterlife. Everybody, if you haven't already, retweet that tweet at the top. There's plenty of people in this room that have not retweeted that tweet. Retweet the tweet at the top, and you will have an opportunity to win one of three NFTs from Afterlife. Belle, you just raised your hand. Did you want to give a closing thought on Madonna before we move back on to Afterlife?
I'm happy to, but I actually wanted to bring up a new NFT project.
Oh, well, shit.
Hold on. One quick breaking news here. According to Tenacious, they literally 3D modeled her vagina. So I apologize. I guess that was for real. Wow, here we are. So,
oh boy,
that's great information. Speaking of our sponsor, no, I'm just kidding. So retweet that tweet at the. I mean, I guess she was that was immortalized, and that's kind of, you know, along the lines of what we're doing with this. With Afterlife, I have a question in all seriousness. So if you get this NFT, does that give you access to, like, is each NFT transferable for having this AI developed? And how does that work? Like, do you own that in perpetuity? Do you burn the NFT? Like, how does that all work logistically?
Yeah, so basically what you're minting is an undifferentiated AI embryo. And then through our partner, and that's something I've been seeing in the comments, I just want to address that, is that, yeah, our inner founder team, we have two top-class AI dev, but we're actually partnered with one of the biggest AI company in Montreal. We're Montreal-based, Move AI, which allows us to have access to about 200 AI developers, UX specialists, data scientists, and software dev. And so as you mint that NFT, it's a shell. The shell itself has been designed by Rack, Robert Alexander Quinn, our NFT artist. He's been working with Madonna, PDD, really world-class, Usher, Dixie. He was doing something for Dixie Chicks this week. And so you mint that NFT, which the art is already insane. And then you are going to have to stake it, and through an app, it's going to be a mobile app, you're going to be able to input data into it. So the app is going to ask you, what's your name? What's your age? Do you want to link your social? You're going to be able to provide as much or as little information as you want. And then it's going to infuse into the NFT, and the art of the NFT itself is going to change based on what you input. So if you're happy, it's going to become red. If you're not happy today, it might change color. And that NFT, you're going to put it into what we call the Afterlife. The Afterlife is the digital space we were talking earlier, which is in a metaverse. And from there, you're going to be able to interact with it, or anyone in your family, loved one, future generation. Everything's going to interact it through their browser, their VR headset, their phone, or whatever.
Love it. Okay. Well, that sounds excellent. So yeah, just retweet the tweet. I'll start picking people momentarily.
Hell yeah. And just, you know, if we could maybe even hear from Sonia too, who's on stage, who I know is in charge of, like, the marketing group. You know, if you wanted to kind of explain the project in a nutshell to someone that just walked into the room right now, you know, what would you say about it, Sonia?
Hi, sorry about that. Yes. Hi. Welcome. Thank you for having me. So in a nutshell, just a big picture, this is an opportunity for us to really rethink how we leave a legacy. And, you know, I think if you think back in the day as well, you know, we used to see writings on a cave wall, or we used to have scrolls. We used to have, you know, the printing press. This is the evolution of communication. I think this is also the way we're eventually going to be telling our stories in 100, 200 years. So this is really a way for us to continue communication.
Immortalization on the blockchain. I love it. All right. Nick, are we ready to rock?
Yeah, I think so. Here's the way it's going to work. You can request coming on stage. It's hit or miss with that. If we're not able to find you, you can shoot me a DM, and that'll ensure that we verify that you're in the room here, which you need to be in order to win it. So there's people still entering. You can still retweet. So there's three winners here. So you still have time to do it, but I'm going to go ahead and pick the first one, which is Luca 9347501.
Luca, where are you at?
9347501.
Where's Luca at? DM us, Luca. It's unrealistic you'll be able to come on stage because Twitter just rugs us consistently.
Yeah, it doesn't
Luca.
Show up here. So yeah, just shoot a DM. I know there was a delay of a couple of seconds here for it to come through, but shoot me a DM, Luca, if you are in the audience. Otherwise, we're going to pick another person.
Pick another person.
Nope, Luca's there.
Luca's there. That's one.
He says, yo, what the heck? No way.
Nice. Very nice. That's an appropriate response, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. I'm getting DMs about pick me. That's not the way that it works. next up, we got Carly 1108, Crypto Carly.
Crypto Carly, where you at?
Carly.
Carly.
Shoot me a DM.
Shoot a DM, Carly.
Did you just let one of the...
No, I let Gentle Tornado on. He's gonna close the show. And he's been rugged.
Wow.
He's tried to come on like 10 times. Go ahead, Nick.
Well, I'm seeing if I get the DM.
You got to think the DM is going to come in. You already know it is. People
crypto
are hitting
Carly
up Crypto
has
Carly.
Has not responded. So I'm just letting you know. Just letting you know. Next up, EJ Renee. 21.
EJ Renee.
EJ Renee. 21.
21.
You have won. And you also don't show up in here for me. So shoot me a DM. You got a minute. The other person has not messaged me, so she's about to lose Crypto Carly. She peaced out. Unacceptable behavior.
Yep. Crypto Carly. Or any next winner. Next winner is.
I did EJ Renee. Now the next winner is internal server error.
Internal
server error. The app has crashed. That's the name.
DM us. Let me check my DMs.
Oh, I got another one. Here we go. Oh, Crypto Carly is there. Okay, Crypto Carly, you have won. So who did we say here? So we had Crypto Carly. We're just missing EJ Renee. And there she is. You won.
EJ Renee. Okay, so we're all good. We got our winners?
We got three winners.
Congratulations. You guys are champions. That's
You're
unbelievable.
You're about to be immortalized. I'm jealous. I'm jealous because, let's be honest, you know your boy's not living a long life here. So let's just – well, actually, that's not true. I haven't been I wasn't out partying with Captain Kicks last night. So I'm living that healthy morning vibe. But, yeah, appreciate Afterlife coming on today. Very excited about your project. Thanks for supporting this show.
Where do people have to go to Mint? Where are they going to Mint? Where are we sending people Afterlife?
Well, it all goes by our Discord. So stay safe out there, Discord. Click the links in only the right channels. We're going to make an announcement with the right and correct link to Mint, which is going to be on our website. And also take the time to read our light paper. If everyone that Mint can take that 5 minutes to read our light paper, it will really make us happy. We want people informed, and people that knows about the project to join our community and ask any question. We're here for that.
That's what I'm talking about. Well, look, you know, thanks for coming on today. You also demonstrated your understanding of the NFT markets as a participant. You started off, you know, kind of doing shorter term trading, got into investing. Sounds like you've been arbitraging between LooksRare and OpenSea. You guys have funding. You know, the sellout is not necessary for the business to survive. You have a long runway, but obviously we wanted to sell out. Thanks for coming. This was awesome. Everybody check out Afterlife. Immortalize yourself on the damn blockchain. Gentle Tornado, it's Friday, man. Send us out, man. Come on.
Let's fucking go. Every fucking day, the Morning Alpha show fucking cements itself as the best morning show in the world. Nifty Portal is where the fucking alpha's at. It's the best community. We're burbing everybody. We're riding the burb. We're fucking nifty. Let's fucking go. Friday.
Gentle Tornado, shout out Afterlife for us real quick.
Afterlife, I'm whitelisted. Let's ride.
We'll see you guys on Monday.